Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC, and as you can see, a blizzard is on its way into the metro area, and after Sandy, people are paying very close attention. Let's talk about the storm and how local governments and utilities and the MTA are preparing for it, and how you should at home. We have a number of guests coming up, but we'll start with WNYC's Richard Hake with the latest. Richard, what's happening?
Well, Brian, as you mentioned, we do have a blizzard warning. This will be in effect until 1 o'clock tomorrow. There's also a coastal flood advisory. That starts at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Now, right now, if you're outside, we're getting this mix of snow, freezing rain, some sleet, rain mixing in with that as well. Tim Morin with the National Weather Service says by later on tonight, this storm will pick up in intensity and in snow accumulation.
So 1 foot in the city, but if you move north into Westchester, we're looking upwards to 14 or 15 inches of snow. If you move to the south and southwest, a little bit less.
And if you go out on the island, Suffolk County could see the worst of it, at least in our area, upwards of 17 to 20 inches. And Connecticut, especially the eastern parts of Connecticut, may get upwards of 20 to 24 inches of snow.
Unbelievable.
And earlier today, we have Mayor Bloomberg. He was on his weekly radio show on WOR, and here's his advice for residents of New York.
Leave early from work. Don't try to beat the bad snows at rush hour. And be careful when you walk and knock on the door of your neighbor and say, anything I can do to help.
And we do have reports of lots of people out at the supermarkets kind of stocking up on stuff. WNYC reporter Stephen Nesson was out there earlier. He found Rosabel Casilla at the Atlantic Terminal in Brooklyn. She was in from Connecticut. She had a doctor's appointment, but she says she's ready.
I bought enough water, canned foods. I eat a lot of fruit because I'm on a low diet. Vegetables. I bought snacks. I still got my little snacks in my pocket.
So everyone is hunkering down and getting ready for the storm.
Richard, we'll check back in with you.
Okay, Brian.
Thanks a lot. WNYC's Richard Hake. With us next is Dr. Adam Sobel, climate scientist at Columbia University. Hi, Dr. Sobel. I've missed you. We haven't spoken since the week of Sandy.
That's right, Brian. It's been a while.
When we spoke about every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So I don't know if people are getting like Sandy flashbacks right now. But, you know, things are pretty normal looking outside our windows here in lower Manhattan. Just rain and some mixed precipitation and a moderate amount of wind. So should we not be lulled by that?
Well, the forecast is that the precipitation type will change to more snow in the late afternoon and evening. And so assuming that's right, and I have no reason to doubt it, there could be a foot of snow, sounds like. So the fact that it hasn't happened yet, of course, doesn't mean it's not going to happen later.
And even more snow elsewhere. And I was going to say that the snowfall predictions are all over the map, but it's more accurate to say they're all over the tape measure for some of the same spots on the map.
Yeah.
What are there different models that meteorologists and climate scientists are looking at for the track of this storm that's leading to a variety of predictions?
There are definitely different models. And part of the story is the track of the storm, which if it shifts a little bit, it can make a big difference as far as which direction the wind blows. But the bigger factor, I think, than the track, well, it's partly related to the track, but the big issue here is the temperature of the air. We are forecast to be, right on the rain-snow line where the water is the air is just might or might not be cold enough for the precip type to change from rain to snow. And so when you're on that line, a couple, you know, a degree difference either way can make the difference. And there's a lot of water that's going to be falling out of this storm, maybe an inch and a half or 2 inches of liquid equivalent would be in the rain gauge, which would be a huge amount. So if you turn that into snow, it's quite a bit more. But if it's rain, you know, it's just a heavy rain. And so when your temperature's right on the edge, it becomes a very, very tricky forecast problem. So even a small difference in the track of the storm or in the temperature of the air at the levels between where the rain is forming and where it hits the ground will make a big difference. And that's what's been so tricky, I think, over the last few days.
Now, of course, the biggest damage from Sandy was from the storm surges coming in off the water, What do you expect in terms of storm surges today and tomorrow relative to Sandy levels? That's not really going to be the story, or is it?
No, I don't think so. The forecasts for the storm surge now are in the range of 4 feet plus or minus. And so in the worst case, if that hits at high tide, we could be looking at 8 feet or a little more above the low tide level, whereas Sandy was 14. So it's not going to get close to that. There could be some coastal flooding. It could get marginally above some of the city seawalls in the worst case. But so it's, you know, it's, one shouldn't be driving around on the lowest lying roads. One probably shouldn't be driving around anywhere in the next 24 hours or so. But no, it's not going to be a Sandy-type situation as far as storm surge.
And before you go, give us just a little bit of wonky science. How does this storm, because of the time of year or for any other reason, look different to you than something like Sandy did in October?
Well, it's a very different type of storm. Sandy was a tropical cyclone, hurricane, and the physics of that are quite different. Gets its energy from the ocean, whereas this type of winter storm gets its energy from the jet stream and the temperature contrasts that go with the jet stream. Sandy, of course, combined with a winter type of storm late in its life, but the fact that the hurricane was there made it a very different situation. The weather models that predict storms are now actually not bad at predicting the tracks of hurricanes. They're still not great at predicting the intensities, whereas the processes in this kind of storm, the models can handle better in practice. And so the intensity of this storm I expect to be forecast pretty well, and it's held relatively constant over the last couple days, although it did kind of emerge out of nowhere in some of the American models. As of a couple days ago, before about Wednesday, this storm wasn't much in our forecast, and then it popped up. But over the last few days, the intensity's been pretty steady. It's forecast to intensify rapidly over the next 24 hours. The low pressure dropping, if you want to get really wonky, by about 20 millibars or something like that, which is a rapid deepening of a storm. We call it a bomb. And the bottom line is the models know how to do that, whereas for hurricanes they have a much harder time with the intensity.
And they are calling this winter storm Nemo. Since when do they name winter storms?
Well, it depends what you mean by they. The Weather Service, that our federal agency that does our weather forecasting, still doesn't name them, as far as I understand.
Uh-huh.
I believe the Weather Channel started doing it just this fall with the nor'easter that came about a week after Sandy, where we got that snow in November. They named that one Athena, and I believe that was the first one for the United States. And the Weather Channel decided not to adopt it, and that's still the situation as far as I understand. The Weather Channel is still naming them.
The Weather Service decided not to adopt it.
That's right. My understanding is that the Weather Service believes that winter storms shouldn't be named, and I think that's a reasonable judgment on their part, but one could debate that.
All right. Blame the media. I guess I haven't been watching enough Weather Channel because I missed A through M, and here we are with Nemo. Dr. Adam Sobel, climate scientist at Columbia University. Thank you very much.
Pleasure. Thanks, Brian.
And with us now is Commissioner Jerry Hauer of the New York State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Services. And Commissioner Hauer, I know you're having an extremely busy day, so thank you very much for giving us a few minutes.
My pleasure, Brian.
And let's assume people are taking the advice of Mayor Bloomberg and other officials and will hunker down at home by early or mid-afternoon. What preparations should people be making in their homes?
Probably our biggest concern right now, particularly on Long Island, is the loss of power from all the snow and the gusting winds. So we really want to ensure people have water, food, flashlights, and are prepared to be in for a few days, because during a snowstorm, it becomes even more difficult to get in to repair power lines because the streets are so difficult to navigate. We also want to encourage people to check on their neighbors, particularly the elderly, those that are shut-ins or that have some disability, because the emergency services in the communities are going to be very busy. And people helping each other in these circumstances is really critical.
And you mentioned battery-operated flashlights.
Phones, radios.
And the batteries to fuel them with. Make sure you have enough batteries. And I'd also add Commissioner, remember those generator safety tips if you're trying out the brand new generator you bought after Sandy, if you happen to lose power later, because there were deaths and injuries from people who didn't yet really know how to use generators after Sandy, right?
Absolutely. We encourage people to be very cautious with generators. There are two things that create problems with generators. Using them in the house creates carbon monoxide, and carbon dioxide, and that is lethal. And we do see after the or during these storms or after shortly after them, we do see deaths from carbon dioxide. The other thing is, when you're refueling the generator, the mufflers are very hot, and if you pour gasoline on the muffler, it'll flash and cause serious burns. So we encourage people to be very cautious. Keep the generator outside. Don't keep it in your garage. Keep it where it's well vented.
I see that there are no evacuations being ordered like there were before Sandy. Does that speak to the different nature of the storms?
It does. You're absolutely right, Byron. The storm, we are going to see some storm surge, but it is not expected to be anywhere near the caliber of Hurricane Sandy. We might see some coastal flooding in homes that are right on the water. With the wave action and the winds, water can be pushed into the streets that historically flood. But we don't expect to see anything near the magnitude of the surge we did with Sandy.
I don't know if this is out of your area, but since you work for the state, I'll ask. I see that LIPA's management is being usurped for this storm by the company that has the management contract there, National Grid. Considering National Grid's role in LIPA already, what's the difference for people on Long Island?
I don't really have a lot of understanding of the intricacies of what went on. But you know that the governor was extremely unhappy with the way LIPA responded to Sandy. And he wants to ensure that for this storm, if we do lose power, that everything humanly possible can be done to get power back on as quickly as possible.
Are there more lessons to be learned for today from that Christmas time storm a couple of years ago that clobbered us and left buses stuck and everything than there are from Sandy directly?
Well, we've been in constant contact with New York City, and I know that the city is doing putting a large number of trucks out in the street ready to go to keep first the main avenues and streets open and then the side streets. They obviously have to prioritize things, the Office of Emergency Management is working with the agencies, and they're trying to ensure that they can get streets clear so they can get emergency vehicles in. And one of the things that we've done is the governor has ordered the National Guard to be on standby, and as a result of that, we are going to have Humvees, three per borough, and one of those three is going to be capable of carrying patients. So if things do get as bad as they were back then, we will be able to assist the city. But again, we're going to be doing it under their direction because they have the 911 call center. They know where the problems are going to be. So we're working very closely with the city right now.
Anything else I didn't ask you about that you want people to know?
Yeah, I think this is one of those storms. You know, you always tell people to be cautious shoveling snow, particularly if you have a pre-existing cardiac condition. But this is one of those storms where the potential for losing power and communications capability is very real. We want people, as you mentioned earlier, to be very cautious with generators, but very important, check on your neighbors, check on elderly people in the neighborhood. they can't get out, and they're basically bound to the house. Make sure that they've got food, make sure they've got water, and they've got heat. If not, call the county emergency management agency and get some help for these folks.
New York State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Services Commissioner Jerome Hauer, again, on an extremely busy day for you. Thank you for talking to WNYC listeners.
My pleasure, Brian. Take care.
And next we go to Kevin Ortiz, who is a spokesman for the MTA. Mr. Ortiz, thank you for taking the time. Welcome to WNYC.
How are you, Brian?
Good, thank you. And I guess the first thing for people to know is that the MTA is planning to add extra service in the early afternoon?
That's correct. On the on both railroads, the Long Island and Metro North Railroad, will operate additional trains early this afternoon to accommodate customers who wish to head home early in anticipation of the storm. And we're actually urging customers to take advantage of this extra service earlier on, because the possibility does exist that evening service may need to be curtailed as the storm hits the city.
Now, what would determine that? What would make you take a train line or a New York City bus out of service?
Well, in terms of, let's start with buses. You know, every bus that leaves a depot today and has left the depot this morning left with chains on the tires. So in terms of buses, we anticipate operating a regular schedule. However, as the storm progresses, we'll monitor service on a route-by-route basis and may curtail service as the storm progresses and as road conditions warrant. Now, we work together with the Department of Sanitation to keep heavily traveled bus routes clear and passable, but you know, we would monitor each route by route, case by case, to make a determination as to whether or not roads are passable and safe to travel. Now, on trains, on the subway, essentially, well, and railroads as well, get to a certain point where snow accumulates above the third rail, and that would, in essence, cause a problem with power and, again, just running trains in a safe and orderly manner, that we would consider curtailing service.
Before Sandy, the whole system was shut down. Why is this different?
Well, essentially, you know, we provide service and run trains as long as it's safe to do so. And we'll do that this time around as well. So we'll provide as much service as we can as long as it's safe to do so.
Were the bigger lessons for today learned not from Sandy but from the Christmas snowstorm 2 years ago where, for example, so many city buses got stuck?
That is absolutely correct, Brian. Lessons learned from that previous storm in December of 2010, where, you know, again, we will run service as long as it's safe to do so. We won't put buses out there if they can't navigate the road. So, you know, we're carefully monitoring each route. We'll make a determination as to whether or not it's safe to send buses out, you know, from depots. And if it's not, then we will curtail service.
And is there anything else I didn't ask you that you think people should know about MTA service?
Sure. Well, in terms of subways, we plan on running normal service through the PM rush hour. We don't anticipate any issues, you know, through the PM peak. That being said, once snow starts to accumulate later on tonight, what we'll do is we'll begin to store trains underground so that they don't get stuck at yards. When that happens, we store trains underground on express tracks. So that means that we would curtail express service on routes that have express service. So you'll see, you know, for example, a Q train running local rather than express.
Also, elevated trains more at risk of shutting down sometime in the evening than underground trains?
That is absolutely correct. Actually, we've got some routes, particularly what we call open cut routes, the Sea Beach line, which is the N in Brooklyn, the Brighton Avenue line, which is the B and Q, and then the Dyer Avenue line, which is the 5 up in the Bronx, that are particularly vulnerable to heavy snow and freezing precipitation. So, and these segments are also affected by falling tree limbs as well.
All right. Kevin Ortiz, MTA spokesman, thank you very much for the update. Good luck today.
Take care, Brian.
And there's a storm update, folks. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We'll, of course, keep you posted throughout the day, throughout the night, throughout the weekend, if necessary, here on WNYC. Coming up next, we begin our annual series on the five Oscar nominees for Best Documentary. Today, the director of Searching for Sugar Man, about an obscure Detroit musician. Have you ever heard of Sixto Rodriguez? Who became a superstar in South Africa. Stay with us.